Well, good morning. Hope you all are doing well today. Today's been a great day. We've got to hear from all these young people that have been training in leadership for the church, how to speak, how to lead singing, and how to do many other things. And, you know, one of the great things has been to see how that program has grown the last few years and all the new people that some of them for the first time were getting up here leading singing or doing something to practice leadership skills. And I think that's a wonderful thing for our young people to be doing. And if you're not involved with that program, if you have children that are in the right age group, and that's K, or I think even below K, kindergarten, all the way up through 12th, and even some adult things that can be done as well, if that's something that you've considered or you'd like for your child to develop leadership skills, Lads Leaders is a great program to help them do that in a safe environment, for them to learn at a young age and to get comfortable with leadership so that when they're older, they won't have those fears and it'll be easier for them to step into leadership roles. Even if they're never a preacher, they'll have that ability to get up and to do a lesson, a Devo Wednesday night, to help teach a class or something like that. So I hope that you'll consider being involved with that, whether as a participant or as just an encourager of those who are. This year's theme for Lads to Leaders has been Not Ashamed. And so the convention and many of the lessons were geared around that very topic. And so this morning I have the privilege of speaking on that from Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. And if you've ever done any reading of Scripture, you've ever heard sermons, you probably know this verse fairly well. It's a very powerful verse that not only very important for understanding the book of Romans itself, but it also has a condensed form of the gospel itself contained within those verses. Now, it doesn't tell us everything we need to do to be saved within those verses, but it does give us a good understanding of what the gospel is about. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 in a lot of ways is considered the thesis statement for the book of Romans. Paul is, when he's writing this, he's preparing for his trip to Rome. And so he sends the letter ahead of him, preparing the way for that and telling the Roman Christians about his goals and his plans for when he gets there. And so he makes a statement at the beginning of the chapter, laying out his roadmap for the rest of the book. It serves as his purpose statement, his goal, and what he hopes to accomplish as he prepares to visit Rome. So this morning, I invite you to join me as we study this passage so that we can have a better understanding of what this verse is all about and also why it matters for us. The first part of the verse, Romans chapter 1, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was ready to walk into a city that was the capital of the world. It was the cultural center. It was the political center. It was the place where the emperor of the ancient civilized world, at least in that area, lived, dwelled, and ruled. And Paul was going to walk into that city, although the gospel had already been in Rome. There were already churches there, probably as a result of the Christians who were at Pentecost. Paul was going to walk into that city and to preach a message that was controversial. He was going to preach a message which flew in the face of the emperor. He was going to preach that not Caesar, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and that there is good news, not the good news of the coming of an emperor, but the good news of a coming of a lowly Messiah who would save the world from their sins. And this message could be perceived as dangerous. This message could be perceived as ridiculous. This message, as it often did, landed Paul in jail. The message of Christ was hard for people to accept. It was a stumbling block to the Jews, and it was regarded as foolishness to the Gentiles. It was not something that most people in that world could have been proud of because of the implications of that message and the way that it affected your relationship with the world. But despite all of this, Paul was not ashamed of it. Paul was proud of the message of Jesus Christ, and he was willing to proclaim it in the city of Rome and wherever he went, despite the risk that were going to come from that. He was not afraid and not ashamed of the implications it may have for his relationships with other people. He was not worried about what other people thought about him for proclaiming that message. He wasn't worried if people liked him or not. He wasn't worried if people thought him ridiculous or not. His only intention was to spread the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ so that people might be saved. And as our culture becomes increasingly more hostile to Christianity, we find ourselves standing in a culture that is a little bit more like Paul's than maybe it was 50 years ago. The culture is less receptive to Christianity. A lot of people look at Christianity now as something hokey, something suspicious, something a little weird, something to be embarrassed of, to apologize for, something to not wear proudly, but something that's over here and away from the mainstream. Part of the problem is because the Christian moral values are in conflict with the way that the world conducts itself today. People don't necessarily have a problem with, you know, a hippie, peace-loving Jesus as some people like to portray him. But what they have the biggest problem with is the moral obligations that come with Christianity. The changes in life that have to take place to be a follower of Christ, the commitment that is involved in worshiping him on a regular basis, and the lifestyle that one has to live, and the separation that that creates between us and the world. Our faith, through the Word of God, teaches us how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to dress, how we ought to speak and act and think and live. And these things are not necessarily who the world wants us to be. If we participate in the faith of Christ and the body of Christ, we're going to have to live a different life. And sometimes that makes us embarrassed. Sometimes that makes us apologetic for the gospel because we're ashamed of who we are trying to be, but we're ashamed of the way that that makes us look in front of other people. We're ashamed of how that affects our relationships. We're afraid of what people will think of us and how that will affect our job and our social life and our friendships because we don't want people to think that we are weird. And so we go out of our way to be like the world. We dress like them. We act like them. We talk like them. We watch the things that they watch. We go to the places that they go. And then we try to live a life for Christ. And we end up being two different people that are not consistent with one another. But in order for us to be faithful to Christ, we're going to have to live a life that is different from the world. And that might mean that it makes things a little awkward with our friends outside of the church. That might mean that there's some friction and tension with our family members. That might mean we have to say no to some things, that we're not going to go to those places, we're not going to do those things, we're not going to wear those things, we're not going to talk about those things, we're not going to watch those things, because we need to be faithful to Christ. But what Paul's talking about here is not just a lifestyle. He's talking about the message itself of the gospel. And that message can be offensive to people. And even if we do a good job of living a moral, right Christian life, we may be living and doing the right things, but we might still be afraid to share the good news of Jesus with others. We might be afraid to tell or suggest or even imply to someone that they may not be in a right standing with God. We may be afraid to suggest that there's only one way to heaven because we don't want to upset anyone. We don't want to lose friends. We want people to like us. We want to get along. And we don't want to be treated differently. And I think we need to learn a little bit from Paul in the sense that we need to not be so worried about what the world thinks of us. Yes, we should live a good life and we should love like Jesus did and we should serve like Jesus did. But when we're truly following the gospel, when we're truly being obedient to the mission which God has entrusted us with, That means sometimes there's going to be conflict and friction over the things we say, do, and believe. If we keep on insisting on living like the world, remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. He says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be also ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." We need to remember that we live in a world that is an adulterous and sinful generation. And that's not necessarily a world that we want to be friends with in the sense that we have to compromise our faith with. This is the same world that we're trying to be accepted by sometimes. We're trying to be accepted by sinful and adulterous people rather than God. And sometimes we don't think about it that way because we think, oh, well, I have good friends. They're not terrible people. They're pretty nice. They're pretty friendly. They don't do terrible things. They're decent people. But look what our Lord and Savior says about the world that we live in. Is that the world that we want to be recognized by? Or do we want to be recognized by our God in heaven? If we're ashamed of Jesus, if we're ashamed and afraid to speak the truth of the gospel to people, then Jesus will be ashamed of us when he returns. Even if we live a morally good life, if we're afraid to communicate that gospel truth to others, Christ will be ashamed of us. And realize, too, that when we live this life unashamed, there may be consequences for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." And so when we share the testimony, the teaching, the example, the witness, the truth about Jesus' resurrection with other people, we may suffer for the gospel. But this suffering is not something to be ashamed of. It's something to rejoice in, to celebrate. Because if we're suffering for the sake of the gospel, then that means that we are living a life that we're supposed to be living. That doesn't mean that you go out and intentionally try to cause suffering upon yourself so that you can feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But sometimes when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to suffer for the cause of the gospel. There's going to be consequences in our life, with our careers, in our families. And sometimes we're really good at tiptoeing around those consequences. We got to figure out how to say it just the right way so that we don't get in trouble or cause a conflict. But sometimes that prevents us from saying and doing the things that we need to be doing and saying. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The reason why is it's the power of God for salvation. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ for," or because, "it is the power of God for salvation." So the part of the reason that we can have confidence in the gospel message is because of the power that it has to save. God's action through Jesus Christ and the gospel brings about salvation for everyone who believes. And so we should not be ashamed, embarrassed, or afraid of the thing that has power to save people. There's many things in the world that people are looking to for salvation. They're looking to political figures, a certain political party or the other. They're looking to, you know, some sort of, you know, health benefit, or maybe we're looking for a medicine or thing to save us. Maybe we're looking for a lifestyle or a mental state or, you know, a guru, a teacher, a really smart person who can give us all of life's answers. And some of these things can be helpful, but nothing has the power to save our soul eternally except the gospel of Christ. I know that sometimes it feels like this world and people in this world have a lot of power and control over our lives. But remember, the power of God surpasses any amount of power and control that other people may have on us. God's power is more important than what other people could do to us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. People might be able to ruin us financially. People might be able to ruin us emotionally, physically, mentally. But people do not have the power to destroy our soul in hell. And so because of that, we need to be reverent and respectful and fearful of the God who can do that. And trust in the power of his gospel. What God offers us in Christ is not a reason to be ashamed. It's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to boast. It's a reason to be excited. It's a reason to be joyful. And maybe the reason that we're ashamed is because we have forgotten the power of our salvation. We have forgotten what it means to be delivered from the realm of sin and death and into the church, into the body of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we have made God and church just another activity on our long list of busy lives. Maybe it's just something to do to enhance our life, but it's not all our life, it's just a part of our life. But then I'm going to go do all the other things in my life that I want to do and be who I want to be, and then I'll come and play the church game when it's convenient for me. Are we ashamed of who we are? Are we ashamed of how God has saved us? Do we forget what it was like to be in the world of sin and death and to be captivated by the burden and imprisonment of sin? Do we forget what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? Maybe that's why we're ashamed. We need to remember that the gospel saves everyone who believes. Paul talks about this. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Remember, the gospel went to the Jews first. They were God's chosen people. That was their one benefit under the new covenant, is that they would receive the gospel first. But then the gospel goes to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Jesus freely offered himself up for all the world, not just for a limited set of people so that they could be saved, but so that everyone might have the opportunity to believe in him and have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The gospel really is for all people. And so when we're ashamed of God's word, when we stand against the message of truth that is going out into the world, and we're afraid to proclaim it to our friends and to our family and to share with them the good news that Jesus has given to us, we're standing against God's desire for this world. Now, I think God can accomplish it, whether or not we as individuals participate or not. But we have a mission to fulfill, to be part of that gospel message going into the world. We need to help people believe in that truth so that they might be saved. Later on in Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, in clarifying what it means to believe, Paul says, they have not all but obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And so you see in the New Testament that the concept of belief and obedience go hand in hand. To believe and to trust in the gospel is to obey what God says needs to be done to receive salvation. When the Ethiopian eunuch was riding in the chariot and Philip comes up to him and approaches him and Philip tells him the gospel of Christ, the first opportunity that the Ethiopian eunuch has when he sees water, he says, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He knew that to have faith meant to take action on that faith. We're not just preaching a gospel of simple belief. We're not just asking people to believe that God exists and that Jesus rose from the dead. We're asking people to take action on that, to commit themselves to him in baptism, to live a changed life, repenting of their sins, and walking in a new life. Let us be people who follow Christ, who are never ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, and remember that he, through the gospel, has the power to save not only us, but the entire world. And we need to share that message with others. We need to live a life that is not ashamed of Christ. We need to live a life that is unashamed of the gospel and that is not concerned about the implications and consequences of speaking the truth to others, whether that be financial, physical, emotional, relational. There will be consequences when we speak the truth to others. The world may hate us. It may think that we're crazy. It may think that, you know, that we're uneducated or backwater or that we don't understand it. That people may try to kill us for it. But so that did they to Christ. So did they to Paul. So did they to many of the other apostles. This is nothing new. The wide and easy path is much closer to us than maybe we would like. It's easy to walk down that life, that path of not speaking the word, to shut our mouth, to tiptoe around religious sensitivities, to make sure we don't offend anyone, that we don't upset anyone, that we keep all our friendships, to hide our faith, to live like the world, and to be accepted by others. But the narrow and difficult path to follow Christ is to unashamedly speak the truth in love, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to share the power of salvation with others, and to face whatever comes by trusting in the power of God for salvation. We need to live lives that are unashamed. The good news today is that if you are lost in your sins, as you've seen in this message that we've presented this morning, God has power to save you. God has power to take you out of the dark world of sin, which traps you, which weighs you down, which imprisons you in pain and fear and in suffering, and to deliver you into his kingdom of light while we await and serve and look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. God has that power. God can save you. God can help you, so that you no longer have to walk in pain and in darkness, but you can live a life of hope and trust in the Lord. By having faith in him, by confessing him, repenting of your sins, by being baptized in his name, and living a life until death, you too can experience the blessings of living a life that is unashamed in Jesus Christ. This morning, if you are not a Christian, the opportunity is available to you to become one, to be baptized for forgiveness of sins, just as Blake and Albina were in this past week. They are now walking in a new life, and that is a blessing that you can experience as well through baptism. The waters are ready for you. People are here to talk and to study with you, to answer questions, and that's something that you can do. And if you are a Christian, maybe you have been living a life that is ashamed of Christ. You're embarrassed by him. You're ashamed of him. You don't want to talk about him because you're afraid of what people might say, think, or do to you. Don't live a life like that. I know it's easy. I know it's comfortable. But that's not who we're called to be as Christians in Christ. We're called to live a life that is unashamed, that is bold, that is brave, and that speaks the truth in love so that other people might know the truth of God's word and so they might have everlasting life. So if you're struggling this morning with being ashamed of Christ, come forward and we can pray for you, we can encourage you, and we can help you, because we've all been ashamed at some point. We've all been afraid to speak. We've all been nervous about the implications. If I say this, they're not going to like me anymore. And so we don't do it. But don't keep living that way forever. Live boldly like Paul. Don't be ashamed of God's gospel. If you have any needs this morning, whether to repent of sin in your life, to ask for prayers for encouragement of the church, or to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.